This show is not for the easily offended, so if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Don't be stressed.
Just to harness that inner Super Steve.
Good man. There's no floods today. You got this.
No trees.
Hey there, listeners. It's 2016, and indie comic book noise is on its roll, starting off strong and fresh with a hot batch of brewed independent comics.
Oh, I thought you were going to say number ones, and I was going to be a little concerned.
No, we don't have, we have whatever numbers we want. We decide the numbering. We control the horizontal. We control the vertical.
I think everything I read was in volume one.
Well, you are just stirring the pot, and stirring that pot is Whirlwind X Kevin.
Hello.
And it's me, Andrew, the LA Rabbit, and we also have Phil on the horn.
Good day.
Super Steve is still having his mind blown away by the revelations of Secret Wars 9. And that big revelation, spoiler alert, is that there's going to be six more issues in the series. So strap in, kids. It's going the distance.
Wow.
And this is Indie Comic Book Noise, the podcast sponsored by no one.
No one yet. You were kind of talking about that today. Since the Twitter account at Indie Comic Book N has gained sentience and everything.
And we have a Facebook fan page, I'm told, but I'm not on the Facebooks. And we're all on Twitter, LA_Rabbit1, WWX Kev, and me and my sloth for Phil.
Kevin, yours is so hard to remember. Get a new Twitter.
There is that LA Rabbit out there.
Yes. Yeah. Always get to social media platforms early, kids. I'm a cautionary tale. That's why you end up with underscores and ones in your Twitter handle.
So you grabbed your Peach account already?
I don't know what the hell that is. All right, but we're here talking fresh, hot comics right off the press, except some of my comics are older and not fresh off the press. But they're new to me, and that's what's important. So how about, Phil, how about you start us off?
Sure. One comic that I'm very excited about that I read today is Spread, issue number 12 by Justin Jordan, and Jen Hickman is the artist. I talked about it before in the show, but this issue was really special for me because it's just a one and done, and it goes into a backstory of one of my favorite characters in the series, which is basically this insane woman who the main character runs into. The main character has this baby, and the baby, for some reason, is immune to the spread, so he's trying to keep it safe, kind of like Lone Wolf and Cub, sort of, in a way. And along the way, he ran into this crazy girl who's just, like, completely, completely insane. But for some reason, this insane woman loves that baby and, like, protects it with her life, so he lets her stick along. And this issue shows how she got into that demented state. It's pretty fresh, so I don't want to ruin too much, but it's basically 10 years of her in the spread, kind of as a kid, and going up into more of an adult. And but it's just filled with just very dark, dark and crazy, crazy stuff. Like there's like rape, for example, like just anything dark you can imagine.
What's the publisher on that one, Phil? Sorry.
That's Image Comics. And Justin Jordan, he's the guy that writes that other comic we like. What's it called, Kevin?
Shadow Man?
No, he does Shadow Man?
He did the first like 10 issues.
Oh, that's right. No, the one we reviewed on the show, it's that big strong guy.
Oh, Luther Strode?
Yeah, Luther Strode. He does all those ones. Yeah, and I wish I could go into it deep, but it's pretty big spoilers, and it came out this Wednesday, and this podcast will only come out in like a couple weeks, so I don't think I can really go into it too deeply. But it's, lately they've been doing these one-shots kind of in the past and stuff, and this series has taken a long time to come out, but it's really worth reading. It's faster than the Afterlife with Archie shit, so that's what matters. Mm.
I think Afterlife's coming back, isn't it?
I don't think so. All they care about is their new stupid series.
I've seen some teasers anyhow.
I'll wait till the trade comes out in 10 years.
They'll put out some magazines. Yeah, I noticed the magazines have have stopped.
Of course, because there's nothing to print.
Yeah, they printed it.
Like, what
it.
Were they thinking there? Yeah, let's put out magazines that have no content.
Well, I guess that they figure that...
instead of, like, paying those people money to make those comics, they're probably spending all their money on those stupid new line of Archie comics that don't even look like Archie.
No, I saw, like, the magazines at, like, Walmart and stuff, so I assume they had the...
Oh, yeah, really? Afterlife 30?
Yeah. So I got, like, they had their regular digest, like, at the cash register. Mm-hmm. And then they had the magazine section. They had the magazines there. So they have everything covered.
Well, Archie was always good with alternate distribution. You know, here in the States, it's supermarkets. Like, long since, when I was a kid, you'd get all comics, but... You know, now that I'm older, it's you only ever see Archie's, but I still see the little digests right by the checkout often next to, like, the tabloids and everything. I don't know if you guys have
I'll see tabloids. Comic books in corner stores a lot.
Yeah. Do you guys still see a spinner rack?
Sometimes. No, there's one not too far from my house. There's a spinner rack. But the only problem is all he gets is Simpsons, SpongeBob, like those bongo comics.
Yeah, I was going to say the spinner rack is still at Chapters Indigo bookstores, but since Marvel pulled out of that, it's only like Simpsons, Archie, Doctor Who, Sonic the Hedgehog, stuff like that.
I do see them at the newsstand every once in a while, but out here they're outside, so like they're all kind of sun damaged and beaten up, and it's always some mixed grab bag of like you know, like Batman and Spider-Man and SpongeBob, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're really beat. You know, you leave them outside, obviously, they get pretty beat up.
But isn't that how you used to buy your comics? Like, that's what you used to do.
I bought them off the spinner rack, but mine were always indoors at the little drug stores were kind of like corner stores. They had... it was before that, you know, it was... But basically, like your CVS or Walgreens equivalent. It was before then. It was a local chain, but I used to go in there and then have a spinner rack. I think they had two spinner racks, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Good time, gentlemen. That was luxury living. Two spinner racks.
I don't know. I like it better now. A whole store full of comics. Like, that beats a spinner rack.
Two spinner racks, Phil.
That's not an odd comics, though.
Clean that wax out of your ears. Two spinner racks. Means twice as many comics bent over in half.
I don't know. I kind of like going to a bookstore too and seeing just walls and racks of comics with spines too. That's kind of nice.
In our bookstores, like Chapters, they're just filled with graphic novels.
And yeah, it's ridiculous. Have,
like, that's where I get my best indie graphic novels is at my Chapters.
Those aren't comic books.
That's what this podcast is about.
I thought it was about comic books, Phil, not your fancy graphic novel highfalutin.
What we're supposed to only cover like mini comics and stuff now? Comics with an X?
No, we cover all comics
here. Okay. Even
except
if they're not
for
called
Marvel
comics.
And DC. Even your so-called graphic novels.
We even cover your books with Batman. Remember, Andrew, the previous episode?
We even slip a little Batman in if it's the correct publisher.
And I could still talk about Batman and Ninja Turtles.
Mm. All right, so what have you got
for us,
Kevin?
I don't know. Who's the publisher on that?
IDW.
They also did the Green Lantern Star Trek crossover.
That's right.
I did talk about that, I think.
So what have you got for us, Kevin?
I got something called the Morning Star, but it's not morning. It's MOUR.
Like them old-timey medieval weapons.
Yeah, like more of a... Because it kind of fits the scene and everything. And this is by Kazimir Zakzepek, I'm guessing? I don't know. Anyways, this is sort of like... Half the size of a comic, I would say. It's more of a... It's almost like a square. Like, this... If this was a webcomic or something, I would not be surprised. Because I looked it up online, and it was listed at Study Group Comics, but the comics I saw on there as being number one are not the comics in this volume one. So I was a little weirded out by that, going, how can these both be like part one when they have different stuff in them? And there's even...
Well, comics are complicated.
Yeah.
All different volumes.
And they have a cast of characters in the back, and there's even a story back here where it says it was originally, a side story originally published in the Athens Fluke 2005 anthology. And originally this was before they changed the name to the Morning Star. It was, he originally called the story Death Star. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably a good idea to...
Yeah.
to change the name on this. You never know how litigious, you know, Disney and all is going to get.
I think Disney's pretty cool, generally speaking. Like, they're willing to give people a break.
Yeah, they wouldn't bug him unless it was, like, this big moneymaker, you know?
Yeah, but I just thought that was funny. Like, right at the end, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's kind of, yeah, that's probably a good idea. But it starts out, it says, less than a year ago, our world was destroyed. And it shows, like, this crazy type of comet coming for Earth. And apparently, it was, like, passing Earth every 22 years. But this time, for some reason, it came, like, really close and just totally destroyed the world. So you're kind of wondering at first, like, is this our world? But it isn't. Like, you can, like, it looks more like our world before the comic hits, but there's still some people with, like sort of elf ears and stuff like that. And there's one guy laughing in a jail cell before the comic hit. So I of course, I manufactured this own story in my head about, oh, I wonder if he's the one that drew the comic near type of thing, but that's this sheer speculation if we'll ever get back to
maybe he's just watching Cheers.
Maybe he just liked to watch the world burn. I don't know. But anyways, with this comet having hit everything,
you can't shake Batman from this episode.
You went there. So the world's messed up. It's basically post-apocalyptic. It's like some crazy alien world type of thing with where like all the characters sort of look like kids and they look like orcs.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, like, they're all humanoid, but...
They're just, like, mutated a bit, kind of?
Yeah, kind of like that. Or if they just might be, like, some kind of crazy aliens. But I also imagine it might be easier to draw or more fun to draw, as the case might be. Like, if they all have, like, certain quirks about them. Because their artwork is all, like, simplified.
But they never actually explained it in the comic?
No. Because you see the world before it blows up, so... Like, it's not entirely like our world. Like, you basically get, like, one page.
Sounds like you're just thinking all this stuff up.
Wait, was this comic ever published?
Well, if you think of, like, you know Dragon Ball? Like, how the characters just look slightly different? Like, no, Piccolo?
God,
I don't read Dragon Ball.
Why would we watch that stupid dumb thing?
I'm not 12, so no, yeah. I don't.
Go play with your Pokemons.
No one with an appreciation for Dragon Ball.
No. You know we wouldn't.
I don't know. See, the thing is, when that series came out, I had no idea it was, like, from Japan. I just thought it was just another cartoon.
Now you're an expert.
Yeah. So this is just a bunch of stories about, like, the world and people on adventures after the world is destroyed. So there's characters you come back to, but it's a bunch of, like, intertwining stories.
What about the guy in the jail?
I don't know. We never see the guy in the jail again. I want to see the guy in the jail again.
So the story's not wrapped up by the end?
No. There's another volume of this.
Oh, cool.
Like, sometimes it has, like, three panels, maybe two panels per page, and sometimes it has, like, 20 panels per page. Like, if someone's in a dream sequence or something, like, they'll break out, like, the crazy dream panels. But, like, some people are just trying to find, like, someone that's lost in their family. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of craziness going on, like, roaming bands and, you know, evil forces that have taken over towns and stuff like that.
What's the big baddie? Is it humans also, or is it something, like, more mutated?
It's pretty much like these guys that are humanoid looking. like, if you want to get to certain areas, like, they've taken over.
So vague with this, like, humanoid looking, like, either they're human or they're not.
It's a secret, Phil.
I wanted
you to know, he'd tell you.
I said Dragon Ball, like Piccolo, and then you're like, ah. No, but they have, like, they're like orcs or, like, elves or stuff like that. But there are a few other creatures. Like, there's this Dream Eater guy that just sort of floats around like a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets hungry, and he, like, lives within the guy's mouth, and he feeds off the guy's dreams and nightmares. And then there, at one point, one of the groups in here runs into, like, a centipede. And, like, that doesn't go down well. And then the one guy has a sword, and he just keeps on slashing it underneath, and they've been trying to get to, like, bathe somewhere. So then, of course, once they eventually kill him, like, all the guts just come out of the thing and just drop right onto the guy that was underneath the centipede. And he's like, oh, you're going to really need a bath. And then there's another story about this guy with a cape that's just wandering the desert.
Do they get a bath? Do they clean up or what?
Oh, they do. They do.
Okay.
They never want to leave.
They'll leave us hanging.
We're very obsessed with cleanliness here.
Apparently.
For a dirty podcast, we keep it clean.
But it's funny, that guy, because he starts stealing, like, stuff off of, like, dead bodies and everything. And he's like, ooh, food! So he just starts, you know, chucking all the food, just wasting all the food because he just assumes this guy is dead in the desert. And then he goes, oh, water! And he just starts, you know, drinking all that. And then he's like, oh, this must be his canteen for his water. And then after he drinks it, he's like, oh, maybe this was his pee-teen. Ugh, this doesn't taste so good.
So now we know a little bit more about Kevin's proclivities. Let's move on. Normally, I don't like to review books I haven't finished, but sometimes there's nothing for it, Mr. Frodo, to quote the Lord of the Rings movie. I'm talking about Hollyhocks. That's H-O-L-L-I and then H-O-triple-X. And this is from Bogus Publishing.
It's not bogus, though.
And it's the collected edition. I don't know if you guys have heard about this book or not.
I don't think so.
It's Austin and Adam Tinius. And what happens was, what's kind of neat is they've been, it's like taken a couple years to, this is the collected edition, but it took a couple years to finish it. So I had seen them at local shows and bought like the first issue, but I couldn't remember if I liked it or not. So at the last Kamikaze, I bought the collected edition because I'm like, I think I liked it, but I couldn't remember because I'm old and my brain doesn't work.
Yeah, it's hard to remember all the stories you read.
I bought, and it's the year is from the back cover. The year is 2051 in New York City, and gravity is a thing of the past. If you aren't anchored to the ground or wearing these special gravity boots, Tyco brand gravity boots, you float off into space. And there's a new company that's emerged with a plan to restore the gravity back to New York City, rendering the boots obsolete. So they build these like weird pyramid things that are supposed to all restore gravity. But out of nowhere, Hollyhocks, the lead character, after 30 years of having disappeared, she was like the model for the early generation Tyco boots that let you stay on the ground. She shows up and she's got to figure out like what's went on. So she's kind of our entree into this world, but they don't make it very easy on us. That's for sure. Like they make it very difficult. And it's a Stefano Cardicelli is the artist, at least in the beginning parts that I've read. I've only gotten like the first three chapters in, so I don't know. It looks like it shifts to Ignacio Vega at some point later on. You know, because when you do these things over a course of years, sometimes you don't always get the same people. Mm-hmm. But they're very complementary styles. It's like watercolor colors, so it kind of bleeds a little bit outside the fine pencil line. And then the pencil line is kind of shaky and craggy. Particularly the first ones, Stefano, is a lot more kind of impressionistic, more kind of Jeff Lemirian, where the second guy, when you flip through, it gets a little more classical. But I really dig it. Like, it's this crazy world, and they sort of throw you in. There's a little bit of, like, I don't always understand. I mean, the storytelling is fairly clear, but it's just this complicated world of the future with these gravity boots. Like, I didn't read the back cover. I just started reading it, and it took me a little bit to figure out that, oh, yeah, it's kind of neat. Like, gravity doesn't work, and there are these spells where suddenly just everything's floating in the air. And so the guy's got to be wearing these special boots that lock you in. And then the new company comes along, and it's an interesting mystery. I mean, the reason I was hesitant is I haven't finished it, so maybe like the end.
Sounds like a neat idea to get you started, though, like to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like it feels like a real world. You know, like a realized this version in New York City, and the people seem like they inhabit it, and the art's good. And I like that watercolory look.
Did you get to see any accidents where people float away or anything?
There's this one where they're doing this construction. The guy almost floats away. Well, there's a murder early on.
Mm-hmm.
When she comes back and you don't know she's a robot or android or whatever I don't know what they call fake things. She's a sentient podcast or whatever she is. So she's going back to find her creator, but it's been such a long time. Like, he's not around, and Manhattan is like a no-go zone with all these roaming gangs and everything. So it's just kind of fun to, like I said, it's all this crazy world that they've imagined. And I enjoy it, but as I said, I can't attest to the ending. Maybe it's just them. They're like, and then everyone dies or something, you know. I doubt it, but it's a Bogus Publishing, and you can get them online at bogusbooks.com and see them at shows. And I believe if you go there, you can get a preview of the first issue at bogusbooks.com, Holly Hawks Volume 1. So check that out, folks. You'll see that artwork and kind of get a feel for this weird story. And I think, I don't know, remember if the first murder happens in that one or not. But, you know, it gives you the feel for the Tyco Corporate. Because then there's, like, what's going on with its corporation. Like, obviously, if they solve the gravity problem, that's going to be bad for them. Because they've got this monopoly on these boots that everyone needs. And, you know, so it's interesting. Like, if that's the type of thing, futuristic world you dig, check it out. And it's not too, like, despite having all those X's, it's not like a sex comic. Which may be good news or bad news for you. Phil, that's a negative. But for some people, they might have been... Like, I wouldn't have called... Like, I get there's a reason why it's called that, but it just seems a little risky in today's climate.
That sounds like another book I read where the title wasn't the best title I could have imagined.
Holly Cox?
No, that one he was pleased with. Phil, that one delivered. So what have you got for us, Phil? I'm a poor man's Super Steve today.
I recently started diving into Black Science. I have 3 trades, so it's up to 16. I only read 8 issues so far. And Kevin, why didn't you tell me it was so good?
I'm sure I've told you that it was really
good. Yeah, you and Steve have been raved about it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I've really laid into it, but I've been collecting the trades because I knew it was something I would like, because I love Sliders.
Yeah. It's probably, I would put it up there as one of the best Image books currently.
I'm a big Slider fan. Although regular size burgers work too.
Wow.
And
I don't know if you would have said Quantum Leap. I want to hear what he would have had. Like, what restaurant reference he can make out of that?
Go on, Phil.
Sorry, I was trying to think of a reference. You're distracting me, Kevin. So, yeah, so I read the first 8 issues. And the first trade, the first 6 issues, like, nobody's safe in this. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like, I didn't expect it, like, certain characters to get their fates. Like they're really in Schitt's Creek. Like, it's pretty much exactly like Sliders. Like, basically... Their machine that makes them jump is broken, so there's always a timer, you know, and they have to make sure they're there to jump to the next world in time, and they can't control where they're going. Like, it's the exact same like Slider, but I don't have a problem with that. I like that.
Yeah. But the thing, I think I read the first trade.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? So you read it? Yeah, all the.
Yeah, I need to, because there's a lot of interpersonal politics and drama within the grouping, mm-hmm. like people plotting against each other and all that. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and yeah. A lot of. And they're like all mad scientists and that type of thing, and then they have kids and like other like relationships and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and like there's bad people that seem bad, but really they're like.
And the other thing is they keep on adding cast members as they're going to different places as well.
Well, that's the cool thing too, yeah. And I love the way they do it in the first trade, because in the first trade they get someone from another world to help them, but he has to jump with them. And then in the next storyline, I think there's one small panel where you see that character in the background, but it's really easy to miss. So the whole time, like you might have forgot that he was with them, or like it was never explained that he stayed with them or anything. And then when you do see him again, it's like this really like exciting moment, because in your head you knew he was there, but you just like you forgot about it by then, you know?
Yeah, I think part of the excitement for me too is Scalera was at Marvel and then he moved over to Image on this book, and his artwork is just unreal.
What like, else has he done?
He did, you know, he did some Hulk issues. He did some, like, kind of stuff all over. But I'm sure he's done some X-Men stuff, too.
I remember Dean White was the colorist on that, right? Because it was really a shared book.
Yes,
yep. I think Dean. For the first, maybe,
for the first, 12? I have the first two trades here, and he's Dean White.
Yeah, but so someone replaces 12. Him, I think, after the first 12.
My one question is, though, like in Sliders, they jump to different versions of Earth. Where are they jumping? Like, it's not clear. Like, are they jumping to different planets? Are they jumping to different Earths? Like, it's not clear if it's different universes or what.
Well, it's broken, so it's kind of just jumping randomly. But I think they make reference to something like.
Because it seems like they hit, like they're going to alien planets.
Yeah, it's. I think they said it's like an onion. They're just sort of.
But then one was an alternate Earth.
Yeah, like you can, it's pretty much just jumping like anywhere? Everywhere.
Yeah.
But like you can even run into other versions of yourself. So,
mm-hmm.
like it just gets really messed up.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like the first trade, it's like, it's almost like all the main characters die. I feel yeah. like I could talk about that because it's over 16 issues in, so.
Yeah. The other thing I think that makes it better, because it's a comic, like they can do anything, like there is no budget, so they just come up with any ridiculous creature they want.
Mm-hmm. I wish there was like a montage of like every panel was a different world, you know, like they went to like a page or two of that, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
Do they do that later on?
I think they slow down after a little bit, like
really? Yeah.
Yeah, because it is like, even though they have like and they might have a world, an issue or something, but at some point it's just going, there's so much information, it's going so fast, and there's just so many different like interpersonal things going on. They're just like, well, let's slow this down slightly.
See, I wouldn't want them to slow it down though.
No, it's good though. It gets into like more of the character stuff of like why characters feel or are motivated to do certain things.
You just made me hate the comic.
Don't let Kevin spoil you on books you haven't read yet.
I'm kidding. Yeah, no, I think I'll enjoy it, because the first trade was amazing. The second trade I'm enjoying so far.
Because I think by issue 16, it's sort of like hits like a major sort of turning point.
Okay.
I think that was
that story, which is after 16, that's only three issues in, so there's still two more issues for that storyline.
Yeah, I think that was the issue, but like I'm into the, I guess it's the fourth story arc now. Like it's like I think they're issue 19, something like that.
Yeah, it's issue 19.
Well, what can you give us, Kevin, if you're not vibing on what Phil's saying and you really don't like Black Science anymore?
What? I'm looking at a page right now that he drew with Baron Zemo on it.
Oh, yeah.
Baron Zemo's in this thing? Boy, that is a crossover.
I knew you were going to go there. No, I, you know, I'm always scouting for new comiXology books. And I don't know quite how to print. I guess it's Zombillium.
Yeah, you gave us a shot. I went and looked at it. I just hate fighting with. If I have a bit, it's from NBM, but if it's a big book, like comiXology gives me such grief trying to read it. I'm not a fan of the mixology people.
Really?
Yeah, just like pages will take a long time to load.
You're reading this mobile or desktop?
Desktop.
Oh, I don't have any problem desktop.
Yeah, maybe I don't have the...
Maybe you don't have enough RAM in your computer or something.
Well, what browser are you using?
Firefox.
Is that the... I'm using the Google one.
Oh, the...
Chrome.
Yeah, Chrome. I don't know.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it doesn't like Chrome.
Yeah, or...
How can they not like Google?
There's not...
Man, comiXology, they got to be hip. It's because they're with Apple, right? So they got to hate on Google.
I don't know. Maybe is there a setting in Chrome that it, like, maybe you can, like, get it to preemptively do something for you? I don't. You know, sometimes the browsers, they had different settings where you can, like, it would, like, speed up your internet viewing somehow. I don't know.
Where it's not set to suck. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just say that comiXology, maybe they shouldn't start a war with Google, you know? They're kind of a big company.
Well, they are owned by Amazon, so.
Exactly. And I'm stuck in the middle. But no, I like this Zombillennium, is how I would say it is.
Yeah. It's like Millennium, but you put Zom. But the thing is, like, I'm like, okay, NBM. And I'm like, yeah, it's something from France, and it's 48 pages, and some of these things, you know, when you import stuff like that, or translate or whatever, it can get expensive, and then I look at the name, like, I'm fine with the importing, and I'm like, but sometimes you sort of have to weigh
this things. Comic would not be expensive, because the page you sent me has one word, and it's not even a word.
That was just the first page. I didn't want to spoil too much, though.
What? Wait, it's from France? I didn't know that.
Yes, it's they import all this different stuff.
Well, I've bought books that they didn't import too. They also just make their own.
Yeah, he's not a zombie. I don't know.
He's a mummy.
Like, I've always known them as a company that has a lot of, like, foreign reprints. So that's why I've always been on the lookout for that type of stuff.
No, I've bought regular comics from them.
Interesting.
Because, you know, I don't truck with foreign comics.
Yes.
You don't like
foreign? You don't no, you don't like those international Canadian comics. You don't want to get those for free.
I love Italian artists. They're my favorite.
Now that our feud with Earth 2 is over, I'm mindlessly cruising around trying to stir up the pot for whoever else I can find.
Well, you got to be careful, though, because whoever you start a feud with, they might go out of business or stop podcasting or whatever.
Well, that's right. They got the dirty books there, too, at NBM. I forgot all about that. I totally spaced that they were one that, well, they're all them classy dirty books, you know, Phil.
Like furry books?
Like them ones that are, like, fancy.
But, like, Omaha the Cat Dancer or something?
I think more just, like, Euro... type stuff, like them real
girl fancy stuff,
classy ones. I don't think that's classy.
Is that classy?
I don't know. Well, them Italian guys like all that stuff too. All your Italian comics, they always fill with naked ladies having sex.
But I was gonna say, with the cover of this and with the name, I'm like, this isn't the best. I just thought, oh, zombies and, you know, that type of thing, and I'm like, I don't know, but I'll give this a go.
Because I really liked A Home for Mr. Easter that they published. That was a Brooke Allen, who has since gone on to do... she's one of the people that worked on Lumberjanes for a while.
Okay, I give that. I collect that from my niece.
Yeah, her A Home for Mr. Easter, it came out in 2010. I really liked that. When she came to San Diego, we went and got a copy signed and everything. That was an NBM book. So I always think of them as that kind of... like arty ones and everything. But that's a really good all ages book. It's about this crazy lady and her little rabbit.
Rabbit.
You know, I like comics with bunnies in them.
Yeah.
Anyways, we've hijacked your review of Zombillennium, which I also enjoyed.
Well, but that's what I mean. Book. Like, what you, it's not just entirely mine.
Well, what it's got is that sort of polished digital look to it that, like, it looks like it could be like a Saturday morning cartoon almost. Yes. Type of thing. That very professional looking. Like, I would be very surprised if this wasn't done on a computer.
Or I would even, like, a not necessarily a Pixar thing, but just, it's just very, very defined.
Yeah, very slick, like, yeah. That, which is good. I mean, that's why I was surprised it was French, because I'm like, what? I thought they all, you know, just didn't use computers.
No, there's been a lot of different things and publishers making their way to Comixology, and it's, like, all different kinds. Some of it is like this, like, very different. But anyways, our story here is, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. You employ, you have this, like, amusement park type of place, and instead of you having, like, people dressing up as monsters, they actually employ, like, actual monsters, like the mummy, like vampires, witches, like, pretty much anything like that. And I think the first page kind of sets up some of the humor in the book, which was, I thought was pretty good.
I would say it's very much your kind of first real job humor.
Okay.
Type of thing. Like, you know, like it's, I think the point of view is supposed to be that you're 20 something getting that kind of, getting your first shot out at a real job. And so that sort of angsty kind of like, all this dealing with this stuff makes me think that that's sort of the vibe they're going with. And I think the Zombillennium might be like trying to get the millennials maybe. But it's a little more nuanced because of not just the twist at the end, but they find these people, they sort of like sign their souls up to work there. So that's how they kind of lure them in. So it's not just that you have this sort of mindless job. Like the one lady sells balloons, but she's a witch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, amusement parks you have. So there's that sort of the banal, like, here's where the employees have lunch and the here's your locker for getting changed and the sort of humor that comes with that and the mixed juxtaposition of them being monsters that are working there. And so they can't kill the patrons, but they're supposed to scare them and everything.
Yeah, I would say there's definitely some commentary on stuff like that. Like some of the union workers are like the zombies and some crazy stuff like that. But the gag on the first page, where the mummy's trying to, like, hitchhike, and then his, like, his hand unravels, and it's like, oh, geez, I gotta attach this thing on. Or then if you're, one guy gets killed in here, and they're like, oh, what are we gonna do? Well, we better bring him back to life. We don't want to deal with this situation. But then, but now he's, like, a monster, so he's, like, property of the park and everything.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think the name Zombillennium kind of short changes because it's not just zomb. Like, it's this more mix of, like, sort of workplace. And then there's a little bit of romance kind of. The main witch character, Gretchen, that she's kind of the one that helps him get along. Because, you know, our entry character, he's always got to not understand the rules. And that's us. And then she's the one that helps him get through the day. Because otherwise, you know, he'd never learn these ropes. And then there's that little bit of frisson between the two.
Yeah. Like, I think the name makes sense once you read the story. But to try to capture your attention, like, the name doesn't do the story justice.
No, I would not have, if you hadn't been like, this is something to read.
Yeah.
I would not have been on, I would have been like, Zombillennium, I don't need any kind of zombie stuff. I mean, I've got plenty of that as it stands. Thank you very much. And as then, opposed to, and like you say, that it does nothing for the humor. Maybe if it was on Millennium, the family amuse bark.
Yeah.
And that would give you that mashup feel that this has. That might give you more, because you have no idea if it's straight or nothing with that title. Well, that's the name of the amusement park is where that name comes from.
Yeah. Once I looked at the artwork, I'm like, okay, this should have some humor or something like that, unless there's going to be like horribly graphic things that they're trying to stick in there, and the art style is like, you know, like they can show that because, oh, look, it's a cute cartoony art style or something like that, but that's not what the direction they are going in.
But you're right, they could have done that juxtaposition where it's like, it's going to be really foul even though it looks like a sweet kitty thing. But no, they did, like, it's very, although, like, the twist at the end was really good. I'm not going to reveal it, but at the end, you find out more. Because, like I said, they sign away their souls, so it adds this extra layer to it that's not just you have some crummy job type of thing.
Yeah.
And how all the different, you know, how do the werewolves get along with the vampires, get along with the mummies, get along with the zombies. All right, do you want a story of me being an idiot? Do we like those stories?
Oh, I had one more question for you.
Oh, sure.
So they introduce, I assume since there's other volumes, like this thing about, you know, the stockholders aren't happy and, they could be going bankrupt and all this, but that's not really resolved. So I assume that's just going to continue into the next volume since we've sort of like wrapped up other stories, like for a character in here. But I assume that's their ongoing thing. Otherwise, I was expecting that to go somewhere, like really.
No, I think that's the back, because that's the other thing in these kind of movies. Like, it's always some quirky place that's on the verge of being closed down. You must have seen, I'm trying to remember the name of any of these ones where, like, it's usually like a coming of age type of story, and you're like, the main protagonist is at this camp, and it's his first job, and he's learning, and there's always some girl there that he falls for. Yeah, pretty much.
But there's
always like the risk of, oh no, we're going to close unless we have this wacky scheme at the end to change everything around.
Some people did get killed though, so I don't know, maybe that will help them out in their situation. Anyhow, yes, we want to hear more stories about why you're a doofus.
All right, so I'm still in my LCS situation that's not good. So I had to go to one of my backup LCSs for some comics that I can't talk about on this show.
Let go of the other place.
So I have, but I don't think I'm embracing this new one. So one of the features that the store has is they lay out kind of the variant covers. Some of them cost money, some of them don't.
Uh-oh.
So I was able to pick up a nice one that didn't cost any extra. But the downside is I didn't realize that the series I was trying, that I was actually buying the third issue instead of the first one, because I just thought they were all different.
Oh my God, Andrew. This is the second time a third issue has got you.
Yes, it's the second. And this one's all on me. So I saw this Paper Girl series, and I blame the comic store and Image. I'd be done with Image after this.
Wow. But,
that's the Brian K. Vaughan, Cliff Chang, Matt Wilson, Jared Fletcher. So I had all these colored covers, and I thought they were, you know, I'm in a hurry grabbing my books. I'm like, oh, it's just different variants. And so I'm like, let's pick this one. It looks good. And I'm like, because they don't have the proper box or the indicia or anything on it. Because, you know, you got to be cool. So as a result, I only have issue 3 of this series.
To give people context, on Marvel Noise, they cut it out of an episode, but Andrew was supposed to review Nova number 1.
Hey, but this he is reviewed a
Nova number 3 from the that old one series.
Isn't on me. That's on. I ordered a bunch of those comics from an online retailer, and they just sent me a big box, and I didn't check it, and I was just busting them out to go through, because that's what I do for Marvel Noise. I sacrifice. This buy is all kinds of lousy comics.
Two big mistakes. You're losing it, buddy.
So, this seems like a fine comic, but I'm kind of out of it. I refuse. I'm Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's a good comic.
So you want me to talk about Paper Girls number one? Because I heard about it.
I can talk about number three.
Yeah.
No, I remember hearing about it, and after, I don't know. I guess I wasn't, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of some of the previous series, like Brian K. Vaughan has done, but I know some of the work that he's done is really top shelf stuff. So I was like, I don't know. People have been talking about this Paper Girls for a few months, and I saw number one was still on the stands. I knew it was number one. It was yellow. So I'm like, I might as well give this a go. I think it had extra pages too. And I read it, and I was extremely impressed. Like it was, I guess, like a town in like maybe like. It seemed like 1980s America, and there's these like boys and girls delivering papers, and they stumble across something weird, and I was just like, I can't believe how good this is. So I'm definitely into buy like the first trade of that series.
So it's like detective kids kind of on a little mission?
No, there's a...
it gets weird, so like I'm not really...
There's some kind of universal incursion. Like, so the regular reality is invaded by like this kind of space knight looking dude that rides a dinosaur, and he's got like an electro lance.
None of that is in the first issue.
Is it a red dinosaur?
It is not.
Okay. Moon Boy shows up.
So, no, it's like kind of a greenish sort of dinosaur, like a regular looking dinosaur, mm-hmm. Not your fancy high tech dinosaurs that you kids now like so much. But yeah, so Paper Girls number three I have in my hot little hands, if anybody needs it. Because, you know, they were all just there. Well, see, the thing is they lay them out because I got that sweet Fred Hembeck Secret Wars number nine. So that's why I thought this was just a list of, you know, those sort of comics. But all right, let's go around. Let's give us one more around the horn. What have you got for us, Phil?
Well, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't 100% prepared for that, but I did recently start reading Captain N and the Game Master by Valiant Comics.
Oh, yeah. Phil bringing the Valiant.
I thought you might like that.
Holy cow, what's happened to Phil? He's joined the other side.
Well, this is a lot different than normal Valiant, because this is in the 90s. 1990 this came out, but it's based on the cartoon show that Nintendo put out.
I wonder if that holds up. I don't think I've seen any of it since then. But
the TV show I haven't rewatched, but I loved it when it aired. Loved it.
It was so weird because you saw Mega Man and like Samus was Belmont, there. And,
Kid Icarus.
Yeah.
And I think that was the whole team. And then there was like a princess and his dog, I think. Was his dog in the cartoon? I don't remember.
I don't think so, but I remember the Mario comics were absolutely insane. Like, they were invading our world, but not... I think it was better than how those things usually work out.
Well, that's the funny thing, because these are the comics that Valiant put out for them. I didn't realize they put out these many comics. And the sad thing is, I know I shouldn't get them, but part of me is like, wants me to collect them. Even though I know I won't enjoy them. But there was 5 issues of Captain N and the Game Master. 2 volumes of Zelda, which went 10 issues altogether. There was 2 volumes of the Super Mario Brothers. And then there was one called Nintendo Comic System, which was an anthology where basically, instead of Super Mario Brothers, it'd be like specific, like Super Mario Brothers 3. So it's whatever games were coming out, I think, at the time.
Huh.
So they do little stories on those, like Metroid, stuff like that.
Birdo.
But guess what their other title was that they published?
Like it has to be a Nintendo title.
Animal Crossing.
No. I don't think, was that around then?
No, Faxanadu.
No, Game Boy. What? That's ridiculous.
That is.
Which Power was basically... Glove? No, they didn't have a Power Glove, surprisingly. But in Captain and the Game Master, he does have the Nintendo gun, though. Like, that's his weapon. He has that and the pad on his belt. But
and
yeah, Game Boy was...
dignity.
He's pretty much no, and I like Captain N, and the comics are pretty high quality. The only thing is, though, I guess because they didn't have the rights to Mega Man and Simon Belmont, the replacement character was Metroid, which is awesome, but that's all they replaced them with. Like, I wish they would have added one more character.
I guess, well, who else would they... They must have had someone else.
They have more characters. They've got to.
Like, they had more properties. Like, I know they...
Well, why not Donkey Kong? Because they have the it takes place in the Donkey Kong universe, so why not have Donkey Kong?
Yeah, that would have been good. Or Mario and Donkey Kong don't see eye to eye, so...
Yeah, because I can't think of any either, but I know they have more that they could
use. Yeah, like, I know, like, some of their more popular Mario. Things. Like Kirby, you know, I don't think he's around.
Well, there's got to be a Mario character, like a Toad, maybe?
Luigi?
Well, maybe not Mario Mushroom. And Luigi, but the Mushroom.
Princess Toadstool?
No, there's already a princess, so.
Oh, okay.
Bowser? The Talking Bullet?
Yeah, they never cross over. It would be cool, too, if they cross over with Mario and stuff. But, yeah, they stayed away from Mario, Captain N. But it was they went to, like, the boxing Mike Tyson place or whatever, where it's, like, the Kid Icarus world. There's the Donkey Kong world, like, things like that. But, yeah, it's pretty good quality, the Captain N one. I was surprised. Like, the first issue isn't the greatest, but as it goes along, it's, like, the art's not that, like, it's good for this type of comic, and the stories are... A lot more high quality than I thought they'd be. There's lots of dialogue, lots to read.
So, is there any creators we would recognize? Because I know Ditko did some like WWF comics for Valiant.
I think this is all done by one guy. I don't see the credit page. It's so hard to find the credit pages in these things. It says by Brian D. Lees, Mike Chen. I'm pretty sure I remember seeing his name a lot. Oh no, yeah, it's all different people. Yeah, so. It's all random because they're anthology books. All these, except for Game Boy. Game Boy is where like bad guys come out of the Game Boy into our world, and I only saw a few pages. And I think then some kid's probably gonna get a Game Boy and be powered kind of thing. Yeah. So basically the opposite of Captain N, pretty much. But yeah.
Cool, Kevin. What have you got for us?
Well, since you sprung this extra segment on. Just...
I thought we normally did like a round of three, isn't that?
Yeah, usually we do.
Well, I think Steve's
gone lazy.
With Steve, I think it's usually a round of two because he usually goes off on his stuff, and we're like, awesome. But I was reading a lot of Turtles, and I finished the first volume of Gem and the Holograms.
Oh, did you see the movie too?
No.
What do you mean, no? Why do you say no like that? You read the comic. Why not watch the movie?
That wasn't the movie, like, in theaters for, like, 2 weeks or something? It didn't do
horribly. Yeah, but so it should be on DVD.
Mm-hmm. I think it is.
I don't know. It just makes me think of that Turtles cartoon. Movie. That I'm like, yeah, I don't think I...
Second Turtles movie, I think, looks like a lot of fun. Rocksteady and Bebop look awesome.
Well, they look exact. I'll give them that. They look exact.
Well, they're two computer animation. Like, you can really tell they're computer animation when they move and stuff. That kind of sucks, but they look just like they're supposed to.
You know what I really liked about the comics is they weren't just some goof offs. Like, they're actually really powerful, and you do not want to fight them in the IDW series. Like, they'll crack your shell and everything.
Well, didn't they kill?
They were always, badasses, even back in the old days.
No, I thought in the cartoon they were kind of goofy. In the cartoon
they were goofballs, but that was
the cartoon. And they would be like shooting their guns everywhere, and then one of the turtles would like hack their guns in half, and they'd be like, "It doesn't shoot anymore. What are we gonna do?"
Kevin's the biggest fan of the cartoon, though. That's what he.
Yeah, you know that cartoon was for. Kids, so no one was really badass in it.
They're all like Dragon Ball and Pokemon stuff, don't forget.
Pokemon, that was after my time. Magic the Gathering, Phil. Get with it. You're gonna come down on Magic the Gathering.
When you played that, I was playing like the Marvel ones. What were the Marvel ones called? I forget. Oh,
Overpower?
Overpower. I was big into that, and then Heroclix after.
You didn't get into the Versus?
No, I never tried that one.
Hmm. But anyways, what was it?
Turtles.
Turtles.
Turtles. And Gem and the Holograms.
Oh, yeah, right.
They're doing a crossover, apparently.
Really?
Who's going to... Oh, who would write that?
Who cares?
No, I would, seriously, I would be interested if there was a Turtles, and like, just because that would be so weird.
So you like the Gem series?
Yes, I think it's great. I really enjoyed the Gem
series. Is it the shiny covers?
But I think that a lot of that has to do with the Sophie Campbell artwork.
Like, well, there's a lot of... like, didn't Sarah Richard do the covers? I really love her artwork.
There's a lot of covers, so I assume some cover at some point. Because they sort of come up with those cover books after, where you can get like every cover in like a hardcover or something. I know IDW seems to do that. I think they did that with like My Little Pony.
You're collecting all the great books.
I'm not collecting that series. Yeah. I know Andrew is part of that series.
I bought the first one. It was not for me.
Well,
it is all ages.
Figure that out.
It is not all ages. I'll give a book a try.
I would say, like, Gem would be the older one, and My Little Pony would be the younger one, because they're like dating and stuff in Gem. So,
well, I mean, there's clearly like, it's a well crafted book.
Yeah,
like the artwork's good, and it really is. It's not all ages. It's just for little kids. Yeah. I mean, it's fine, but I'm like, you never know. Sometimes a book is all ages. Sometimes it's for kids. I'm not going to prejudge.
You're not going to. He's waiting for someone out there is probably done. Like, I got to do this mature, serious take on My Little Pony.
Ugh. Well, I just feel like there might have been a way to do it that would have been more, you know, have more grip for someone that is grown up. You know what? Like, you can write kids' books and have stuff for adults in it.
Yeah. I also just like Rock Band type of comics. Whether it's like the Scott Pilgrim
Josie
type
and
of
the Pussycats type
buzzards.
Thing.
Yeah. Or then
Toy Buzzards. That's it.
Mongolian Chop Squad, that Beck, where they were trying to. It was an anime and. Manga too, where they were trying to make it in this like Battle of the Bands contest and all that type of stuff. Like, I don't know, something about that. I guess
Battle of the Bands for some reason usually in movies or stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I think it could get generic, sort of like the sports movie where we gotta do it this year. We're the underdogs. It could get bad, but I always find like there's some kind of style to it. To it to make it interesting, like a different take. I guess it's more like the characters and the stuff that goes around the battle that sort of sucks you in. So there's a lot of different stuff going on in Gem between all their different relationships. And then everyone's like, Gem is horrible. Like, she ditches the band at every opportunity and that everything bitch. Like that. That's like, because she's a hologram, she's not a real person. But they can't tell anyone that.
She's just a hologram? Like, she's really just a hologram? She's not even real?
No, no, the character underneath it is real. If it's like the cartoon, yeah. She was like a shy person.
Oh, so it's like an extra suit?
Yeah, like it's a projection over her to be like, oh, now I can be my external self.
And it makes her look older, so she's going around banging old dudes?
That I don't know. Like I said, my problem was I really like Sarah Richard, who did the first cover that when I bought it, then the interior work, which I'm sure is great, but it was such a different style, I was all bummed out. I was like, oh man, I thought she was doing interiors too.
What and is the perverted undertone of this comic is what I'm asking.
No, they did an arc on Ninja Turtles as well. As
did as, that artist you like?
Yeah, before the Gem series. It was the one when they were in Northampton. I was like,
there's
after...
a reason to get Ninja Turtles now.
No, I was just really impressed with that.
And that was IDW, right, Kevin?
Yeah. Like, I would have read more Turtles, but you know how you complain about Marvel Unlimited? Well, if I had a complaint about Scribd, it would be, like, after you get to a certain point, they only have every second issue of some of the publishers. Like, when you have an ongoing series... Having every second issue of a series is basically like having no issues. Because
why would they do that?
I don't know. Like, I'm not going to read every second issue. Like,
that's ridiculous.
I know. It's like, oh, like I read up to, I think Turtles up to like issue 44. And then they had 46, 48, and 50. And I'm like, it's I like don't care trolling. If you have those issues. I cannot read now. Like, there's no point.
Is this a free service?
No.
Then you're an idiot.
I got to read up to issue 44.
Because you can't even read series.
But I'm just thinking, what if Marvel Unlimited, and I'm sure they've had series like that in the past, but it like for IDW, it looks really bad when like multiple series, it's like 1, 3, and 5. And I'm like, why do you even bother putting up 3 and 5? Like, I'm never going to read those issues. It was just weird. It's just one of my complaints about the service.
That's a good complaint.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fair. It's a problem. I mean, maybe they're hoping you'll buy it another way, or maybe that was their license with IDW to trick people.
I don't know. It just seems weird because, like, are you going to pretend it's the spinner rack? Like, the issues aren't available, and you're just going to jump to issue 3?
Like you say, no one's going to buy those next issues. Like, yeah. Number ones, that's all they're going to sell them.
Or I'm going to be buying the digitals, like, on Comixology in between my subscription with Scribd. Like, I just don't understand what the business plan would be in that case. Or sure, if it's an anthology, it doesn't matter if you miss an issue or something.
Yeah, that's fine.
But these like ongoing series, it's like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So is that where you read the Gem books?
I bought the first issue.
He buys the
of
hardcovers. He like double dips. He buys the issues and the hardcovers. He did.
Phil thinks I have unlimited money, apparently. No, I bought the first issue of Gem, and then I read 2 to 6 on Scribd.
Oh, okay. So you did read it there.
Yeah.
They didn't have issue.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And some of the series where they went like 2, 4, 6, when the collection comes out and it's put on there, of course, all the issues will be there because it's a collection. But, you know.
So do you prefer Scribd to Marvel Unlimited?
No.
These services, if I want to get into the Scribd, that's like all the indie ones?
No.
No, I think Scribd is, when I used it, it was actually for technical novels. Okay. I think it's like a whole, but they do books, and I guess they do comics, obviously. But when I was using it, was for, you know how you normally have to pay for journals? They can be pretty expensive, academic journals. They have some of them on there.
Okay.
Yeah, they also have some audiobooks.
So do they have a good indie service like this?
There is,
It's limited.
No.
Before you would do it, I would tell you to go look what you want to read and see if there's enough worthwhile.
Because I know, like a Comixology rival, that's a different, it's that method instead of this one, is like Drive Through Comics. I don't know if you've ever, I think I got one thing from them. I don't know if you've ever used them, Kevin, the digital service. Yeah, they're like another one that's trying to make it happen. So it's a place, but it's more like the Comixology, but there you download them. I mean, I guess now in Comixology you get it too.
Yeah,
but most of it's a stuff. Fun. They have free stuff and everything. The problem is once you buy something from them, then you end up on their list forever. But that's all right. I don't mind getting spam. Yeah. You can get like Valiant and Judge Dredd and all that type of stuff.
Well, I'm looking right now. They have like Girl Genius Book 1 for $10.
Yeah,
but they have the Wicked West number 4. I need for $2.
I would say, yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty good, like, drive-through is good. Like, they have a nice mix of companies. It's just, it's tough because obviously DC is just a jerk and won't go anywhere. Marvel will license a little bit out, but if DC had some kind of DC Unlimited, I would totally be all over it.
Oh yeah. I would never leave the house between Marvel Unlimited and DC Unlimited.
I don't think you leave the house now except for hockey. Let's paint a fake portrait.
Don't say that.
That you're out about the town in your smoking jacket.
No, but I wouldn't compare like Scribd to Marvel Unlimited, because Marvel Unlimited, they have a set schedule. All their new stuff goes up within 6 months. Every week it's coming out. I don't know when things are coming out on Scribd. It was like for a while there was like nothing coming out. Then Valiant had like for a few weeks they were like 6 months behind.
Drive Through is Valiant. I'm looking at one right now.
Yeah,
it has Valiant Universe, the role playing game.
Yeah.
eat method. It's
let's play a valid role playing game, guys. We can make a podcast on it.
I think that's how I got on their mailing list. I bought, they had the role playing game for like a dollar or something, and I bought it through them.
But I went through like 3 months where there was like no new Valiant or something, and I'm just like, I don't know what kind of, like, I just don't know what schedule they're on or what license they have or whatever. So you just, you know, and it's hard to find things.
Do you do other stuff on Scrib, like the audiobooks or the fiction or just comics on them?
No, I just went on a comic binge pretty much.
And how much is it? What does it cost roughly?
After the first month, it's, $8-$9 a month? Something like that. Something like, I guess, the kind of equivalent to like a Marvel Unlimited or a Netflix or whatever.
Yeah, but does that include the fact that the Canadian dollar is falling through the toilet?
You gotta, any of these things, you gotta adjust for the exchange rate.
You wait. Your president will screw something up and you guys will be in the garbage again.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's okay. We're always in the garbage.
All right, well, I think that wraps up another exciting round of indie comic book noise and
one more
digital
round,
comic venues. So hopefully we'll have Super Steve back in the fold, giving us the what for in the business and running the round table better. But glad you've suffered through the poor man, Super Steve.
We don't need that guy.
And from Phil and Kevin and myself, keep reading them cool comics, kids. It's all good.
And if you want to, some Valiant and Japanese ones.
Yeah, it's all comics. It's all good. We bust on Kevin's a little bit, but you should be reading all that crazy stuff.
That European stuff, too.